We're finishing up our series today, our series called Sorry, all about forgiveness. I know that, that was a really sweet worship time, and I know that forgiveness is like a heavy topic at times, can feel heavy, so I just thought I would start us off just like take a big deep breath and just relax. Know that God is here and that he wants to speak to our hearts today. And I thought I'd share a little story with you to lighten the load for you a little bit before we talk about more heavy stuff. Okay, so there was once a man named Joe. And Joe bought a parrot, a beautiful multicolored parrot. Joe wanted a companion, he wanted a pet. So he bought himself a parrot and he brought it home one day. And he didn't just get the bird now. Joe bought everything he needed for this bird. He filled up his car with a cage for the bird. He got food for the bird. He got toys for the bird. He got all kinds of accessories. He wanted this bird to have a great life. He wanted to keep it happy. But despite his great intentions for this bird was not happy. The very first day that Joe brought the parrot home, the bird was in a terrible mood, and it started, you know how parrots talk, right? So it started insulting him. It started saying mean things to him and saying things like, you have no friends, no friends. You have no friends. He's like, well, that's weird. Parrot went on, you smell like trash. You smell like trash. And he just kept saying it over and over again. And then my favorite one, your mother's a vulture. Because I guess in birds, that's like a big insult. Your mother's a vulture. Well, it had only been one day with this parrot, and Joe had had enough. This was nonsense. He wasn't going to stand for it. So he reached into the cage, he grabbed the parrot by the neck, and he took it out of the cage, and he went to the kitchen, and he opened the freezer, and he threw the bird inside, and he shut the door, and he's like, I'm going to teach this bird a lesson. So the bird, you thought it was unhappy before, it starts squawking its head off, going crazy for like a full minute, and then suddenly everything went quiet. And Joe was like, well, what happened? Maybe this worked. Maybe the bird learned its lesson already. So he walked over to the freezer. He opened the door, and the parrot calmly walked out of the freezer. The parrot looked up at Joe and said, I'm very sorry that I've offended you. Can I please ask for your forgiveness? Joe was a little shocked, and he looked down at the parrot, and he said, well, I appreciate that. Yes, I'll forgive you. The parrot said, if you don't mind me asking, what did the chicken do? See, because the chicken was in the never mind. For anyone who didn't track with that. Okay. So this week isn't about forgiving people. Pastor Josh talked about that the first week. He talked about forgiving other people, and he did a great job. I love that message so much. Do yourself a favor. If you didn't get a chance to catch up with this series, go back, listen to Pastor Josh's first message on forgiving people. And then last week, Pastor Carl talked to us about forgiving God when we're angry at him. So that's another great message for you to go back and listen to. You can hear those on our podcast. You can watch them on our YouTube channel. And I just want to say that even though those aren't the topics for today, if you are struggling with one of those things, because I know that sometimes these big things don't change for us overnight, right? So if you're still struggling with one of those things, I want you to find someone who will talk with you about it, who will pray with you about it, who will help to support you through it. Our staff, our prayer team would be happy to talk with you, hear from you, and support you. And I know there's a bunch of great people here at church as well who could lend you a listening ear. Because I want you to know that no matter what your struggle is, you don't have to hold on to unforgiveness in your life. Because you're just going to end up living a bitter life when you do that. There's no reason to be ashamed to ask for help either. We're a church that loves and supports each other. So be open about these feelings of unforgiveness if you find them in your heart. And see what God wants to do with that. You know, sweeping things under the rug is never going to help. It's always going to hurt you in the long run. And allowing unforgiveness to stay in your heart will keep you from being healthy spiritually and emotionally. So I just want to put that plug out there. If one of these other topics is still, you're still wrestling with that, then I want you to find help find a listening ear for that. So we talked about forgiving other people. We talked about being angry at God and trying to forgive God for some offense that we feel toward him. But what about when you can't seem to forgive yourself? That's today's message. So I want to start with two big words for you to focus on. Two big words. These words are forgiveness and hope. We're going to put them together. Forgiveness and hope. There's a national podcast host that I like to listen to, and he's not a believer, but he often talks about the two big things that stick with him when he goes to church. If he goes to a church, the two things that impact him are forgiveness and hope. And I think those two things absolutely should be found in a church, right? Because when we have a relationship with God through the salvation of Jesus Christ, we've been forgiven. And also, when we know we've been forgiven, then we have eternal hope, right? When we know we are forgiven, we have hope forever. That hope is more powerful than anything in our lives, more powerful than our circumstances, more powerful than personal tragedies or failures or anything that we face. We can have forgiveness and hope because of the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. That's where we're going to start today, and it only gets better. There's a Romanian pastor who is well known over there, and he's quoted as saying this: until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains. Release them, and you will be released. Until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains, but release them, and you will be released. See, this pastor is saying, unforgiveness makes us a prisoner, but forgiveness sets us free. You will be released, he says. Forgiveness is powerful, but forgiveness is not always easy. And learning how to forgive is one of those essential skills that we have to learn as followers of Jesus. You know, Jesus had some words to say about forgiveness. I was thinking this week about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 with the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember the words that he gave? Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. And then one of the things that was in that prayer in Matthew chapter 6 was, forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, right? So Jesus wanted us to learn to forgive so much that he included it in the way he taught us to pray. And then just a little while later in Luke 23, when Jesus went to the cross, in his most agonizing moments, what did he do? He cried out, Father, forgive them. In the worst moment of his life, as he was being killed, he was saying, Father, forgive them, and even meaning the people that were killing him. So we might hear these words of Jesus, and we know that's Jesus, right? That's not us. That's Jesus. He's perfect. We're not. So we hear these words of Jesus, and we think, okay, I want to try to apply these words of Jesus. I want to try to forgive other people. And we work at that, and we try to not harbor unforgiveness toward other people. But then we might forget that these words apply to ourselves, and we can't miss that. They apply to forgiving ourselves as well. As long as you hold on to unforgiveness of yourself, you hold on to those chains. You hold on to the chains of your failures, the chains of your mistakes, of your inadequacies. But when you forgive yourself, you will be released. Now, I don't care how long you've had the chains. I don't care how many times you've tried to forgive yourself and failed. God wants you to know today there is hope. He wants you to learn to forgive even yourself. Why do we find that so difficult? Why do we sometimes find it so hard to forgive ourselves? Well, I think part of it comes possibly from your personality. You know, it's important to know how we're wired. It's important for us to understand ourselves from the inside out, so we can understand how our personality directs our thinking, how it guides how we respond and react to people and in situations of maybe personal failure or mistakes that we've made. I think I've probably taken dozens of tests in my time. You know, personality tests and leadership tests and strengths and weaknesses and all different kinds of things. And doing that has given me some insight about myself, something about how I think and how I see myself and how I might respond in a given situation or how I react to my own personal triumphs or my failures. But even though I've taken just gobs of tests and exercises, I still sometimes struggle. I think one of my greatest enemies is self-doubt. You know, I'm going to invite you into my personal counseling session here for a moment. So pull up a chair. It's time to counsel. You all can be my therapists, okay? See, because of the way that I'm wired, because of the way that Jeremy is wired, I hurt deeply when I have hurt somebody else. That's part of who I am. So when I face a failure where I've messed up, when I face a failure in leadership or a failure in relationship, and I've let somebody else down, or I've hurt them or I've offended them, that can really bring me down. That can really crush me. And the longer that that situation goes without being resolved, the worse it gets, actually. And the absolute worst thing for me is when I've offended someone and they aren't willing to talk it out with me. Or they aren't willing to come to me right away and say, I need you to know about this. You know, you may not be wired exactly like me, but my public service announcement for all of you is that it's always the most helpful to you when you can work things out with someone right away. If someone's offended you, don't hold on to that. Don't bury it down. Don't sweep it under the rug. Go to them and say, I want you to know about this. I want you to know how this affected me. Because sweeping it under the rug only causes it to hurt more later. Or in the worst case scenario, it might even cause a broken relationship. And I can tell you from how I'm wired, I can tell you that's the last thing I want, is a broken relationship with you. I still hurt, I still carry regret over relationships in my life that I've damaged or lost. And so these days I try really hard to work on my own personality flaws, and I try to resolve issues head on wherever I can, or go to someone right away if I've been offended or if I think that I've offended them. So I ask you to partner with me in that. It's not even in my notes to ask you this, but partner with me in that if you see something from me that offends you, please come to me right away, because, man, I love you so much, I don't want to hurt you. And if you don't talk to me about it, it's only worse. I continue to work on these things because that hopeless feeling of not being able to reconcile with someone is a huge trigger in my life for unforgiveness of myself. I'm just being honest. That's who I am. That's how I'm wired. So take it from me. If you struggle with forgiving yourself about the way you hurt other people, the very first thing you ought to do is to go and apologize and to seek reconciliation with someone. That person might surprise you. They might offer you forgiveness. And then it becomes easier for you to forgive yourself. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes that person may not offer you the forgiveness that you're looking for. Sometimes you have to keep working on yourself without receiving their forgiveness first. But either way, I believe that God wants us to forgive, and he wants us to be forgiven. One of the hardest parts of forgiving yourself is having to do it when other people aren't willing or available to forgive you first. So if brokenness in a relationship in your life is with someone that's distant from you, or maybe even someone who's died, someone who's passed away, and they just aren't available to offer you forgiveness, or there's no way to get it, that doesn't mean you have to stay broken forever. You don't. That's what the enemy wants for you. He wants that broken state in your life, but that's not what God wants for you. God doesn't want you to be broken that way. So that's where another part of our difficulty comes from, right? We said that the first part might come from our personality, and the second part of having difficulty forgiving ourselves, I think, comes from our spiritual enemy. In fact, I know it's true because I've experienced it. Pastor Josh said something in his week one message that really stuck with me. He said, you know, Satan's tactics aren't new, but they still work to this day for some reason. Man, is that ever true? The enemy won't stop reminding you as often as he can about the ways you've got it wrong, the ways you've messed up, the mistakes you've made, the people you've hurt, the inadequacies you feel. And even when it's obvious to you, even when you know you're under spiritual attack, it can be really, really hard to be clear-headed. It can be really hard to remember your own forgiveness from God in that moment. It can be hard to remember that you can be released from your chains if you forgive yourself. Satan is always working to pile up reminders of pain that play into your personality and make you spiral into doubt about who you really are and whether you're valuable at all. So I want to take a minute here to acknowledge a problem. I want to talk about depression. I think we need to talk about depression as a church. When you've messed up and you can't see past it, when you can't see past the negative feelings about yourself, when you don't see a way for things to change, depression can set in your life. Might be a combination of your personality, how you're wired, and the enemy's attacks all at one time. It's not all one thing or the other. Now, if you've never experienced it, I want you to know today, depression is real. We can't just shrug it off. It's just a mental form of illness like a physical illness. It isn't obvious from the outside for every person. It isn't one size fits all in how it affects people. It can be treated different ways depending on the person. And it's a common problem among people you know. If you've never experienced depression, it is a common problem among people you know. There are people here in the room. There are people probably watching this video right now who have struggled with depression. I'm one of them. So I don't want anyone to make the mistake of thinking that depression can just be easily dismissed or that it's not a big deal. You can't just tell someone who's depressed to snap out of it. You can't just tell them to pray more or that there's an easy answer for what they're facing. If you today are someone who's suffering from depression, I want you to know that I see you. I've been there. See, in my life, depression was very spiritual in nature, and it was me questioning who I really was and whether who I was dependent on what I did or what I could do or the failures and the mistakes I made or if it was based on who God said I was. And that's the part I had to learn. I needed God's help in order to get better. I'm not a depression expert. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not any of those things. But I can tell you about my experience. See, when I was depressed, I struggled to believe the truth of God's love for me and that his forgiveness was really big enough for me. Took a lot of counseling, a lot of prayer, help and support from other people in order to get better. But see, I know that there are a lot of people out there, maybe people in this room, but certainly out in the United States and out in the world who struggle with that and haven't gotten better and don't know how. There are people who feel hopeless. Sometimes those depression stories even end in suicide. I learned this week that suicide rates have been rising steadily in the United States since the year 2000. In 2019, there was a small dip, but then it went right back up and continues to rise even beyond where it was before. It's a big problem in our country, in our world. I want you to know, no matter what you're facing today, please hear me, suicide is never the answer. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And there's always hope for you. Always. If you're struggling, I'll say it again, get help, get treatment. If you're in crisis right now, the National Suicide Hotline is 988. You can call that anytime. If you're out on our live stream today and you're in crisis, call 988 and talk to someone who can help you with that. If you're not in crisis right now, but you're struggling with depression and considering suicide, please open up to someone you trust. If you need someone to talk to and you don't know where to turn, I can help you find that person. Come let me know. I promise the people of this church will not judge you for the struggle you're in or for needing help to get better. I promise. And I would also encourage you to lean into the Lord as you work to get better. You know, prayer and devotion to God is not an easy answer for what you face. It's not a quick fix, but it certainly helps. Because God loves you. You're loved by me. You're loved by the people of this church. And you're loved by the God who created you. He wants you to know that he loves you so much. And I'm not talking about just knowing it here. The intellectual part that says, yeah, I know John 3:16, God so loved the world. But the part where that moves from your head to your heart and becomes, God so loved Jeremy. God so loved Brad. God so loved Ava. God so loved Dwight. God so loved me that he loved me so much that he sent his son for me. That's how much God loves you. So whether you're depressed or simply struggling to forgive yourself, I'll say again, God wants you to be set free. God wants you to be set free. Now I know, some people, when they hear that, they think, how could that be true? How could God really love me? You don't know what I did. You don't know what I was like. You don't know what happened. How could God take me back after that? I get it. There are days when I have to fight the darkness in my own mind about the things I've done, the person I used to be. But the powerful hope that I have is the eternal hope in a forever God, a faithful God. When I want to be reminded that God is faithful, all I have to do is look at Scripture. God tells me again and again, not only that he loves me, but that he'll be there, calling me back home, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've thought, no matter what's happened in my life. I was reminded this week of the first part of the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. It's a story like this. It has a parallel like this. See, the book of Hosea tells a story about Hosea the prophet. And Hosea, as a prophet, was giving God's warnings to his chosen people, Israel. But in the beginning of Hosea, in the first few chapters, we learn about Hosea's marriage to this woman named Gomer. Now, Gomer was either a prostitute or just a promiscuous woman, and God actually directed Hosea to go and marry her. He said, go marry this promiscuous woman, and Hosea married her. He went on to have three children with her, and during their marriage, Gomer is unfaithful to him. It may have happened multiple times, we don't know. But at some point, she runs out on him and goes to live with another man. But see, what God does, he said he directs Hosea to go back to Gomer and to call her back and to show love to her again, to ask her for a commitment to faithfulness in their marriage. And the whole rest of the book is Hosea's writings about the people of Israel, how they were disobedient to God, how they were rebellious, how they were unfaithful. That's the word I was looking for. Oh my goodness. So God shows us this comparison, this parallel between Israel and Gomer. They were both rebellious. They were both unfaithful. And reading this story, we can see that no matter how much we've done, no matter how far we've run away, God continues to want us back. His love is so boundless and so forgiving. It has no end. He says, come back. I will show you my love to you again. I will call you back to faithfulness. And that's the hope part of forgiveness and hope. The hope is that God never leaves us, right? That he's faithful, that he's always calling us back home again. This is the life-giving forgiveness of God that is offered to us freely and always. Put it on a billboard. Freely and always. God forgives you. God loves you. Freely and always. When the enemy says, I know what you did, and he wants to make you feel bad about yourself, guess what? God says, I know what you did. I love you anyway. I know what you did. I love you anyway. There's nothing you can do to earn God's love and forgiveness. He offers it to you as a gift. So if you want to know how to forgive yourself, here's how I'd suggest you do that. Number one, receive God's forgiveness of you. That's where it's going to start. How can you forgive yourself? You have to start by receiving God's forgiveness of you. Remember how I said that forgiveness and hope go hand in hand? Receiving God's forgiveness is the first step to forgiving yourself and embracing hope and living in that place. All over Scripture, God declares his love for us. He models forgiveness of us with his love. 1 Corinthians 13, it's the famous love chapter, right? It gets said at weddings all the time, all the things that love is. One of the things that 1 Corinthians 13 says that love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So God knows what you did. He loves you anyway. He doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't have a list of things you did wrong. He washes it away. He says, that's the past. That's not who you are now. I've changed your life. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that God was in Christ reconciling us to him. That means he was making us his friends, no longer his enemies. Well, how does that happen? Only because he forgives us. God forgives us, and that forgiveness comes through receiving God's love for us. Imagine for a minute someone who really loves you. Who really loves you? Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your spouse. Someone who really loves you. Someone who's good at it. Now imagine for a minute that you did something that hurt that person. And you went to them and you said, I've hurt you. I'm so sorry. I was wrong. I want to turn away from that. I want to repent from that. I've done the wrong thing, and with my whole heart, I want to ask you for forgiveness. Do you think that person would forgive you? Well, now, you might say it depends on what you've done, but I believe that our inclination when we love each other is to forgive each other. If I hurt you and I go to you and I say, I'm so sorry, I was wrong and I really feel that and I want to be right, I want to be right with you and I want to ask your forgiveness, I believe you'll forgive me because I think that's what we're inclined to do. So if we as human beings are able to forgive each other, if any kind of forgiveness exists between you and me, then I believe perfect forgiveness also exists, and it exists in God. Because he's given us that blueprint in Scripture. He's told us that he will forgive us. If we confess our sins, he will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. It's just one place where he promises that. If humans are able to forgive at all, then perfect forgiveness exists and it's in the hand of God in his love and grace. So that's number one. Receive God's forgiveness of you. Number two. Name your struggle. Name your struggle. Now, I don't know what your struggle is. Maybe you struggle with negative self-image. Maybe it's inadequacies in your marriage or your relationships or as a parent or as a student. Maybe it's that you have a sin problem in your life that you've never really dealt with. Maybe that's your struggle. Whatever that struggle is, the step of naming it is important. Because no matter what it is, you need to expose it and take away the power of the enemy to use it against you. See, when a struggle stays hidden away inside you, it eats you up like a cancer from the inside. That's what it does. But what happens when cancer is exposed to radiation? Hopefully, the cancer gets killed by the radiation, right? Well, I believe the same thing happens when the cancer of our soul gets exposed to the light of God. God's light, his truth, on our struggle kills it. That's the way it works. I can tell you why. Because in John chapter 8, Jesus says that anyone who sins is a slave to sin, but the Son of God can set you truly free. He doesn't say sometimes. He doesn't say it depends on what the sin is. Some things are a little too tough. Some things will work. Yeah. No, he says the Son of God will set you free. That's what he says. You can check John chapter 8. I'm not saying that every struggle you face is the same as sin. I'm not saying that. But one thing I know is that the truth will set you free. So bring your struggle into the light. Compare your struggle with the truth of God. And what you'll see is that you may have been believing some lies, especially when you compare those things to God's truth. And that struggle will lose its power. Receive God's forgiveness of you, name the struggle, and third, surrender the shame. Surrender the shame. I said earlier that we can have forgiveness and hope through the love of God found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the messenger, the one who brought us that hope, the one who opened the door for us to have a real relationship with God. Jesus is the ultimate restorer of our souls. He's the helper of our hearts. He carries our burdens when we surrender them to him. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you what? Rest. Come to me and I will give you rest." Shame makes us weary. Shame, it beats us down. It's a tool of the enemy. There's not one bit of shame, not one ounce of it that ever comes from God. That is not what God wants you to feel. That's not what he wants you to experience. Shame is a tool of the enemy. The enemy's at work trying to keep you from focusing on the reality of who God says you are. And here's who God says you are. 1 Peter chapter 2, God says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And why do we belong to God? It goes on to say you belong to God so that you can declare the goodness of God. Why? Because he brought you out of darkness into light. Talk about freedom from shame. Have you moved from darkness to light in your life? That is freedom from shame. There's no reason to carry shame when God has done that for you. When you are a living testimony of his goodness and the power to change your eternal destiny. That's the kind of God that we serve, the one who loves us that much. Receive God's forgiveness of you. Name your struggle. You know, that's why I've been saying that we need to find someone to open up to in our life, because we have to name that struggle, and then we have to surrender the shame back to God. And it's a process. It's not an overnight fix. But this is how we forgive ourselves. This is how we can be released from our self-imposed chains. The power of God is strong enough to lead you to victory. Period. The power of God is strong enough, no matter what you're facing. Victory over negativity, over depression, over self-doubt, over whatever lies you might believe about yourself. You will be released. When you surrender those things to God, you will be released. As we wrap up this morning, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do these three things, but I recognize that it might take a bit longer than one prayer for this to happen in your life. So I want you to consider this a practice run, and I want you to keep these three steps in your mind as you continue to pray them this week. Because the more you pray this way, the more God will help you to receive forgiveness and hope and to be healed. That's what I want for you. You will be released. Let's pray. Father, today as we close our worship together, we bring our hearts before you and we ask for healing. Your word tells us that you love us so much that Jesus came to earth to show us how to have a real relationship with you, a relationship that's full of love, full of grace, full of forgiveness, full of hope. But God, sometimes we have trouble seeing past ourselves, either because of how we think or because of the enemy's work. We focus on our failures and our struggles, and we have trouble believing that you are forgiving enough to cover all of our mistakes. Lord, we have made mistakes. We've done the wrong things. We have hurt people. And we ask for your forgiveness right now. And we know that when we ask for your forgiveness, 1 John chapter 1 tells us you are faithful to forgive us and wash us clean. We don't have to hold on to these things anymore. But in order to live the life of freedom that you want for us, Lord, we also have to forgive ourselves. So today, Father, we receive your forgiveness with grateful hearts, like a starving beggar would receive a life-giving meal. And in response to your forgiveness, Lord, we name any struggle that might be keeping us from forgiving ourselves. Lord, will you help anyone who is struggling to find a trusted friend to lean on right now? Will you give people courage to ask for help today? Whether it's personal help or professional help that's needed, I pray that you'll guide us in wisdom to the right kind of help. And finally, Lord, we surrender our shame to you. We know that you will remove our burden and give us rest so that we can be living testimonies of your goodness and your power to change darkness into light in our lives. Now may your name be glorified May every person in this place know that you are the God of forgiveness and hope. Amen.